Hello there, you're listening to the Park Rush Podcast. This is a theme park podcast. I'm Tom, joining me as ever is Josh.
Hello there.
Hello there, Josh. How's it going?
Very good, thank you, Tom. How about yourself? It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you. I'd love to say I'm doing well, but I'm back in the UK, Josh, so I'm not in a good place.
Storm Babbitt is bringing you down.
Just the whole state of the nation, as it turns out, when you can just wander around a Disney World pretending that your real problems and the real problems of the world do not exist. It's a pretty good place to be, so far as you don't mind some truly extortionate prices and large crowds. You can put up with that. It's a great place.
Waking up at 5 a.m. to book your Lightning Lanes.
Lightning Lanes, virtual queues. There's a lot that you need to get up at the crack of dawn for at Disney these days. You can't just rock up.
No. Well, unless you're going on a Rock and Roller Coaster, then you can.
It's true. It's the only way to get on that ride, really. Really.
Yeah.
Well, Josh,
if you're not rocking up, what are you doing?
How's it been manning the fort alone during this this fifth anniversary celebration that you've come up with for the podcast?
I didn't do that on the whim at all to cover the fact that you weren't here. That's definitely not what happened. I had it all planned out for months. It's been, I've enjoyed it. You know, my my Dawn Treader late night radio host vibes. I've enjoyed going back and listening to that original episode and listening to our behind the scenes bits as well. It's been fun.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the listeners can let us know what sort of vibes they prefer, if they like the traditional hello there, and at least us pretending to be energetic, or if they want the late night radio host vibes of the last couple of episodes, in which case we're happy to oblige. I can do my best. We'll do this show at a leisurely pace. Like a smooth glass of whiskey on your ears.
I prefer it in my mouth. I mean, what?
Right. Okay. Let's move on. Well, yes, I'm back from Disney World. And as ever, of course, we will be doing lots of trip reports from all the parks that I went to while I was in Florida. So all four Disney parks, the two Universal parks, plus Halloween Horror Nights, which may well make two episodes. Some of the parks might make two episodes as well. We'll just see how we get on. We're just going to kind of do a bit of a catch-up episode. I'll give you some kind of quick thoughts on all the parks, and then there's a little bit of news that we thought we'd talk about from while I was away, and then the trip reports will kick off actually sooner than just next week, because it seems like we should probably get the Horror Nights podcasts out while Horror Nights is still an active concern. So we'll aim to get those to you well in advance of the weekend, and then of course there'll be loads of stuff on the other Park Rush pages, Instagram and TikTok and places like that, YouTube. They're all at links.parkrush.com. Josh, our Instagram audience has surged. We were at like 60 something followers, and now we have 320 or something. It's incredible.
Oh, baby. You love to see it. I mean, who cares about podcasts these days? It's all about Instagram.
There's a lot of good stuff on the Instagram, if I do say so. So do go and have a look at all the posts and pictures and stories and stuff from the trip if you haven't already. But yeah, Josh, I mean, I suppose we could start. Did you have any burning questions from my trip?
My first thought was watching your great tour around Islands of Adventure that you did, available on our YouTube channel. You kept calling it scaffolding, which really threw myself and my mum off. When you meant like the construction walls that were up.
Yes, I guess that is true. I guess I didn't know where I was. I lost my head.
Yeah, it's fine. I just thought, Mum and I were sat there like for 10 minutes. Like, where's all this scaffolding? We can't see any scaffolding.
No, I'm just glad that more than one person watched it.
Oh, we had it on the big TV.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. Live on the big TV, mum watching, dad watching, I was watching.
Wow.
Obviously, that's when, through the magic of texting, we got you to pick up a shirt for my dad.
Yes, how did that happen? Did you? Was it like the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing meme? Your dad just leant forward and pointed at the shirt as it came up on the TV. Like, I want that one.
Yeah, yeah. It literally, like, I don't know. Like, you went into the shop and he was like, I wish they had a shirt with the Velocicoaster stuff on it. They didn't. I don't know why they don't have that. Because obviously they didn't. Apparently they didn't have that when he was there. And all of a sudden you picked up the shirt and he was like, oh, there it is. Yeah. He was like, and Mum's like, right, get on to Tom, we'll get that shirt. And the rest is history.
I will endeavour to stop calling work walls scaffolding, because that is clearly a completely different thing.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate it. I guess first question as well, really, is not specifically theme park related, but holiday related.
Okay.
Publix, is it still holding up?
Publix, yeah, Publix is still good. You still go into Publix and, you know, assemble what you think is a fairly modest shopping trolley and somehow end up spending $100. So it's still the Publix you know and love.
Beautiful. And converse to that, I assume Walmart is still the hive of scum and villainy.
Walmart remains the place where consistently I feel if I'm going to be shot dead while I'm here, this is the place it's going to happen.
That
being said, we didn't really do that much shopping while we were in Florida this time round, because things are just expensive now, and you know, the traditional shopping experiences that we would have, i.e. go over there and stock up on stuff that you can't get at home or that is cheaper in the States than it is at home, the annual new pair of trainers, or you know, every couple of years, yeah, new pair of trainers, not worth it anymore, Josh. So unless you're literally getting like essentials, you know, some milk and some OJ, there's no real need to shop.
No. Yeah, it's the UK economy has really done us in.
Yeah. Yeah, things are great over here. That's why I'm so happy to be back.
Okay, good to see the shops are exactly where I left them, in their you know, respective states. Good to see. I guess my next question goes to food is always on my mind. Can you name your best food item from the parks this trip?
Yes, okay. So I would say there are... I'm going to hit you with three, Josh, if that's all right. Oh, this is tough. Three is tough. I'm not sure I can even do three. I'm going to hit you with... four, kind of, Josh. Right, because one of them was just overall an incredible experience. Like, the food was really good, the food items. And the man who gave me the food said maybe the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. So I'll leave that one till last. Wow. Because I still haven't got over it, Josh. It's given me the new lease of life that I needed.
Desired.
So I'd say first one, let's go with the Mickey cinnamon roll, Mickey cinnamon bun, whatever you want to call it. So last year, the Mickey cinnamon bun, sort of that massive thing.
It's huge. You had it a couple of times, right?
I had it a lot, Josh. It's not good. It's bad. I've got, as of this going out, I have done my first post Florida park run. As of recording, I haven't done it yet. I am fascinated to find out what happens. There's going to be a lot more pressure on these poor little knees because of all the Mickey cinnamon rolls that I consumed. But is this like a standard item? Because last year was the first time I tried one, and it was it was billed as a 50th anniversary item. Of course, this year it was billed as a Halloween item. It was basically the same cinnamon roll. It was just covered in orange icing and sprinkles,
right,
instead of like silver icing or whatever it was last year. Do you know if the Mickey cinnamon roll is something that has always been there, just without icing or something?
I don't know. I can't say for certain either way. But why not just keep, you know, it'll be a Christmas cinnamon bun soon. So,
well, yes. Yes. I mean, they are generally sold from the Starbucks locations in the park. So you do spot them in some of the kiosks and some of the stands. But generally speaking, the Starbucks locations, which, you know, obviously just sell Starbucks drinks, mostly just Starbucks food, but then we'll also have generally like one or two seasonal Disney items. And Magic Kingdom, it was a Halloween Mickey cinnamon bun. And then they also had it at the Animal Kingdom Starbucks, Creature Comforts, but not Halloween-ified. There it was just called the Colossal Mickey Cinnamon Bun or something. Colossal might be underselling it, to be honest. That thing is absurdly large.
It's a big old thing. Is that on our Instagram?
It will definitely be on some of the stories, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's a post with it in, but yeah, if you go on the... I've pinned all the stories, Josh. I'm a pro now at Instagram.
Oh.
If you just click into the MK23 or AK23 Instagram stories on our page, you'll find the big cinnamon roll multiple times in both of those. So there you go.
Love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, they got me through the days quite easily when I had one of those. It was enormous.
It'll set you up for a whole day. It's like Lembas bread.
Indeed, yes. The two plant-based items for you, Josh. One, the Impossible Pork Ramen Bowl at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Okay. I was a bit skeptical about this because, you know, I want to sit there eating ramen on a toasty, hot Florida day. But man, this was good. This was so good. And I'd never had plant-based pork before. And also, we don't have Impossible meats here because I don't think they've passed the requisite like EU food standards, which is probably
the equivalent of the FDA, right?
Yeah. So and so they haven't come to the UK either, even though I suppose we would be free at this point to just say, yeah, come on in, Impossible Foods, with your weird chemicals or whatever else is going on. But I can't deny, weird chemicals or not, that fake pork tasted damn good. And it was a very good bowl of ramen. So I very much enjoyed that. And the other plant-based thing I had was fake chorizo in a rice bowl at Thunder Falls Terrace in Islands of Adventure. On the last day, the day that that live stream you mentioned went out, that was a recommendation by a friend of the show, John Self, who I met up with a few times while I was out there. And we'll have to get him on, I think, for some of these episodes over the next few weeks and months. But yeah, those two plates were very good indeed. And Josh, to finish, two staples, but that I finally tried for the first time. So the bakery in the Norway Pavilion. Have you been in there before?
Yes, I have. I've had the school bread from there previously.
Yeah, so I finally had the school bread. Are you a fan of the school bread?
I enjoyed it, but like it's an odd thing.
Well, it's basically a sweet roll filled with custard. And
But I didn't find it particularly sweet, the roll.
It wasn't actually. And I don't know if this was just because my body was ready for something that wasn't an incredibly sweet cinnamon roll, but I very much enjoyed this school bread. And I also had from there a Kringler, Josh. Have you had a Kringler before?
A Kringler, no.
Right, so this is I guess it would fall under the kind of pretzel family, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
But they can be much like pretzels. They can be sweet or salty. And I got one that was almond-based, so it was topped with almonds. And again, it wasn't too sweet. I really liked it. It was very almondy indeed, a strong almond flavour. So as a big marzipan fan, a marzistan, it was very, very nice indeed.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
So the guy who said, he said to me, I don't think he quite said no offence. I think he said, sorry, don't be offended or something. But you look super Norwegian. And I was like, mate. That is not an insult. I am more than happy for people to say I look Norwegian.
I would take that all day.
Nobody said that to me before. probably because it's not accurate and you have weird eyes. But I'll take it where I can get it. Isn't aren't Norwegians considered to be the sort of most stereotypically attractive people in Europe? It's like them, the Swedes.
The Swedes are top, one of the top, I think. The Norwegians are up there for sure. That definitely better than us.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I think everyone's better than us, to be fair.
I think so, yeah. I think that's true. And he's Norwegian. And that is something I did notice, was that the pavilions were far more widely staffed with people from those actual countries, which I didn't think was as much the case when I was last there in early 2022. So that was nice.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, incredible, Josh. I might need to go on a trip to Norway and see if this is actually an accurate assessment of me by this Norwegian man.
Are there any Norwegian theme parks? What have we got? Norsk Folk, that's a museum. Dyrparken. perfect Norwegian. Amusement and theme park. They saw lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Got the Hundesfossen Eventyrpark.
Right.
There's theme parks, Tom. There's parks. Tours and Fried, there's a roller coaster in a picture.
Oh, great. Any further questions, Josh, for now?
I'm going to bring you down, Tom. I'm going to cut you at the knees. What was your weakest meal food item?
In the parks?
Yes.
Oh,
if you had one, they might all be good, and therefore you can't name one. But
I can't off the top of my head think of anything that was absolutely terrible. No, I mean, some. I think the kind of real foodies of the theme park world, not naming any names, would question one's decision to go to like Casey's Corner, for example. But when you need to literally eat anything, and you're trapped in the like sort of Normandy landing style chaos of trying to get out of the Magic Kingdom as the fireworks finish and you haven't eaten since breakfast time because you've been queuing up 3 hours to do Tron. Still not bitter, by the way. Anything will do at a time like that, Josh. So a Casey's hot dog at that point in time tastes divine.
I think Casey's, they changed their hot dogs a few years ago from the good kind to the not so good kind. And people have been down on Casey's since then. I don't know if that's changed at all, but people weren't necessarily high on Casey's to begin with, but changing from the good hot dogs to not so good hot dogs to save some money, you're going to anger the people that you've got left, I guess.
All right. Well, if that's everything, I was going to offer basically sort of one takeaway per park.
Yeah.
Then we're going to briefly talk about Thorpe Park's big announcement while we were away. And then that's going to do it for this week. And then, as I say, in a few days' time, at some point in the next week, definitely before the weekend, you should get a couple of Halloween Horror Nights trip reports.
Ooh, baby.
So, main takeaways. What will you throw a park at me, Josh. Let's go. Put me on the spot here. It's like Mastermind.
Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. Might be my new favorite park, Josh, is my main takeaway from Magic Kingdom. Yeah, I was a bit worried about it because obviously Splash Mountain is out of action at the moment while they turn it into Tiana's Bay of Adventure. But I really appreciated Magic Kingdom this year at a time when it was quite busy. You do come to appreciate just how much that park has to do. And while some of the wait times do get a bit crazy, I'm looking at you, Snow White, and we did queue up for that one day and it was a miserable experience. But despite that, generally speaking, our time at Magic Kingdom was really, really good this year. And I think as well, something that reflected very well on Magic Kingdom, and this is going to tie in a little bit to what my main takeaway from Islands of Adventure was going to be, but you do also really appreciate just how well maintained pretty much all the rides are, but certainly the real crowd pleasing rides, because my sort of main reaction when I saw the state of certain attractions at Islands this year was, for all the crap we give Disney, and I feel like you're more inclined to give them crap from afar, like obviously we've spent the last year and a half not going to Disney, we've just covered Disney from, you know, the news headlines and the kind of general rhetoric from fans and visitors online, and you can, it can paint quite a negative picture of it. But I guess what I would say is, if Pirates of the Caribbean or Jungle Cruise or something like that was in the same state that a Jurassic Park River Adventure was in, or a Kong Skull Island was in, you know, Disney would not get away with that, right? So no. I do think Magic Kingdom, like, as crazy as it can be, you are insured like a base level of like quality, I feel. And I think we all kind of appreciated that on a trip where all of the parks were very busy, but also some of the parks, because it was technically not like peak season, although at times it felt like it was, kind of seemed to use that as an excuse to maybe not be running certain rides at their optimum. But you don't really get that at Magic Kingdom. Like, if this ride is not in a good enough state, we're going to close it. And if it's open, that's because it's running really well. And that is kind of the experience. I think that's what set Magic Kingdom apart for us this year. So there you go.
There you go. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I've queued for longer than I wish I had for Seven Dwarfs. It's not a fun experience. I think it might be one of the worst queues going in Disney.
It's awful. I mean, Disney generally overestimate their wait times by quite a lot, actually. And it's obviously great. But they massively underestimate Mindtrain. Like, holy smokes. I mean, we joined that queue when it had just hit 55 minutes, gone up from 45. And normally when that happens, you kind of expect to end up somewhere in the middle of the old wait time and the new wait time. We were in that queue for more than 2 hours. And honestly, I've never known a wait time projection to be so wrong. And for it to be Disney, it did not make any sense to me. I think the problem they have with that ride is that it's not very high capacity, but also just the way that the Genie Plus line, or the Lightning Lane line rather, is kind of managed. It seems very heavily skewed towards that, to me anyway. And it means that the standby line you can go a long time, it feels anyway, without moving at all. Or sometimes they'll only let like 3 or 4 people through into the loading area from the standby line. Meanwhile, like 15 people go through from the Lightning Lane. I'm not a fan of how it works. I'm pretty certain I would never queue for that ride again unless it was a walk-on.
We spent hours in that queue.
Yeah.
Hours.
Horrible queue as well. Very boring.
It's a boring ass queue. And there's that like weird door section. So it slows down a lot more because they can't have too many people inside. It's a mess. It's a mess. They've done poorly on that. Considering how new it is, they should have done better on that one.
Yes.
But there we go. Okay. So if that's now your favorite park, and I guess we've discussed it a little bit, what about Islands of Adventure, Tom?
Well, my main takeaway from Islands of Adventure is that I think, as I kind of insinuated, some of those older rides are literally not in a good state. Like Jurassic Park River Adventure is a bit embarrassing. So what's the first dinosaurs you come to? Is it the Ultrasaurs, the Ultrasaur Lagoon? So the Ultrasaur is just hiding under a crate. He's just... The narrator still refers to an Ultrasaur, but it's just a big box there, Josh. They've put some leaves on it. It's like the worst camouflage you've ever seen. It's like when you're playing like an old Assassin's Creed, or maybe even a modern Assassin's Creed. I don't know. And it's like, that guard should clearly be able to see me. I'm like 2 yards away, but he can't. That's kind of what this feels like in terms of how they've tried to hide the box. And then, to be fair, the very last time I went on it, they had kind of fixed the Hadrosaur, who knocks you off course. But the first few times we went, that wasn't working either. There was one time where he was under the water, he didn't come out. And then there was another time where he was out of the water just the whole time. So we came up on him and his head was just sticking out of the water like, hello.
Oh, you caught me.
And we just kept going and sort of pretended that he'd knocked us off course.
Yeah.
And then don't as you go up the lift hill, and there's like raptors in not a great way. Like there's one with kind of his arm stuck behind his head, which looks really goofy. It's like he's constantly got an itch. Like, hold on a second. And yeah, some of the ones that spit at you, whose names I forget, also don't spit at you anymore.
Great.
So yeah, that ride is not in a great way. And then like Kong, they weren't running the outdoor section at any point, and apparently that's been the case for a few months now. And I also think Forbidden Journey is not looking great. Like there are some of the screen sections in particular are looking really grimy. And anything that involves Hermione is kind of a joke. Like the audio's out of sync. It almost looks like some of the projections are slightly off center, like somebody's knocked the projector and hasn't quite fixed it up right.
Weird.
It's very strange. But yeah, I thought those were an example of some of the rides there that definitely need some work. So as someone who loved my time at Islands last year, that was kind of my main takeaway, although I will say that Hagrid and Velocicoaster are excellent.
Do you think the Jurassic Park ride could do with what they've done at Hollywood with the big screen section, basically making it a Jurassic World ride, I guess?
Yeah, I do wonder. I would be sad if that is the way that it went. And you know, I know I sort of unfavorably compared it to like Pirates of the Caribbean. It obviously is worth remembering that the portions of Jurassic Park that are in the worst state are the portions that are outside. So, and given the Florida climate, it's obviously going to be harder to maintain outdoor animatronics in the water than it is to maintain the kind of animatronics you have on Pirates. But from a guest perspective, you know, you shouldn't really have to give them that kind of benefit of the doubt. I think, you know, if Jurassic Park, I think, is close to being, I mean, it's hard because like that drop is still great. It is a fun ride. Like the T-Rex works fine. It's still enjoyable once you get to that point. But basically from the point where the gates open at the start until you get to the T-Rex, it's a little bit of a joke, to be honest. And I feel like it's in the kind of state where whenever they feel they can get away with closing it for a bit, because it's quieter or they've got enough other rides to manage the crowds, I think they should do it and get that ride into shape. Or as you say, maybe it's time to replace it with Jurassic World, but it's hard to know.
Part of me feels like that's going to be on kind of life support for a bit until Epic Universe comes online, and then that's when it'll get the TLC it deserves. Because it's still a big, you know, they need something to take some people away from Velocicoaster when Velocicoaster is busy, and that's kind of the other ride in that direct vicinity, as it were. I guess if we were then, you know, get on the train, the Hogwarts Express, and travel on over to Universal Studios, what's your takeaway from that park?
Oh, my main takeaway from Universal Studios is slightly against the spirit of this little sort of little exercise we're doing, but it will just be that we successfully completed a very funny experiment on E.T. So E.T., for people that don't know, I'm sure most people listening to this do, but one of the kind of USPs of the E.T. ride is that you give your name to one of the attendants as you go into the queue. And they type it into their system and scan you a little passport and give it to you. And then when you are getting onto the ride, you give a different ride attendant the passport. They scan it. And the idea is at the end of the ride, E.T. is there and he's saying thank you to everyone on your ride vehicle. And he will go through the names of everyone on that particular bike. He regularly, Josh, I don't know if you have ever experienced him get it right. He regularly just gets names completely wrong. Like he's clearly a bike or two behind or out of sync, and he ends up calling me. He's called me many things over the years, but never Tom. Well, we decided to play a dumb game with E.T. this year, and we decided as a family of Arsenal fans, we would still celebrating our epic victory over Manchester City, that we would try and tempt E.T. into giving thanks to Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager. And so what we did was we went through the passport scan and I gave my name as Mick. Someone was L, someone was Art, and someone was Etta. And I was like, this is never going to work. It's either going to be the same problem as normal and he'll just say it, but he'll say it to the wrong bike, or he'll get it in the wrong order and we'll be like Elik Mateta or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But mate, the dude absolutely smashed it out of the park. It was so it was so funny. Just said E.T. That was my main takeaway from you. I think the other one would be just that, man, Bourne and the horror makeup show, two of the best theme park shows going. They're like right next to each other. They're in the same bit of the park. They are both excellent. Like Bourne is state of the art. I'd forgotten how awe-inspiring it is, quite frankly. And in horror makeup show is still just great fun and very, very funny, even after all these years and having seen it many times. It's great.
Well, it's great to hear that it's still holding your attention. Yeah, I guess we'll go back over to Disney and we'll go through some of the ones. I want to end on one specific park. So I'm going to go Animal Kingdom, first of all. Thoughts there?
I'd forgotten how scary It's Tough to Be a Bug is. I think if a five-year-old did that, they'd be horrified.
I don't think I've ever done it.
What? Oh, Josh, no. I think it's gone.
Maybe when I was a kid.
It might be gone as of recording, or it's very close to being gone. It's on its way out. They're going to replace it, aren't they, with Zootopia?
Yes, yeah. Maybe I saw it as a kid, but, you know, I was six. Yeah.
There's way more to it than I remembered. It's not just your bog standard 3D show. There are animatronics, and your seats do all sorts of weird stuff. Smoke and yeah, there's a lot going on. It was intense. I enjoyed it very much.
It's good to hear. Did you say a fond farewell to Dinosaur? I mean, it's not definitely going yet, obviously, but...
We did, yes. We did Dinosaur. Finally replaced the family WhatsApp group photo with a new picture of us on Dinosaur, having it up for the camera. We'd had one from like a 2015 trip on there for the last 8 years. So we updated that. And... yeah, I really enjoyed my time in Animal Kingdom this year. I think that it's probably my favourite park to just actually walk around. Yes. I think it's a beautiful theme park. And even when it's busy, it doesn't feel too crowded. Like those walkways are nice and wide. There's tons of stuff to stop and take a look at. Even though it's only got, I think on the app, like there are like seven attractions or something. And when you consider that like one of those is basically a Dumbo, one of those is, you know, a pretty underwhelming Avatar boat ride, you know, it's not sort of really offering a huge amount in terms of rides and like thrills, but it's still a very, very nice park. I like it a lot.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to hear it still holds a place.
Kilimanjaro Safari is awesome.
It will never not be great, you know. Even if you've experienced the greatness that is Zoofari at Chesterton. I guess onto my favourite park, last time I went anyway, Hollywood Studios, MGM.
Main takeaway from that might be my least favorite park to walk around, Josh. It's a bit of a pain in the ass to get around Hollywood Studios at times. That being said, it might have my favorite lineup of like top tier rides now. Ooh. like I think it's telling that park got consistently some of the highest wait times that I saw while I was there. And you had like multiple rides at times that were north of 2 hours, north of 100 minutes for sure. You know, Tower of Terror consistently above, Rock and Roller Coaster consistently above, Rise of the Resistance consistently above, Slinky Dog consistently above, Toy Story Mania quite often. Like that park has got a tremendous lineup of rides and it's very, very impressive. And this is probably the trip. I spent quite a lot of time, I think more time than last year, actually just soaking up Galaxy's Edge. It really is great. Like, yeah, it's quite an incredible job that they've done with that. And I think, you know, as the COVID era kind of gets further in the further away in the rearview mirror, you know, they did feel anyway compared to last year like they were doing more kind of character stuff. There were definitely more stormtroopers walking around. People like Rey and Chewie were definitely showing up more frequently. Maybe I just got lucky, but it just felt like every time I went in there, it just felt livelier and yeah, just more engaging than last year. And the stormtroopers are great. They are the interactions they have with the guests are very fun. So
that's cool.
Yeah, Galaxy's Edge is very good.
I think the one thing they could, I think, to solve some of the problems if they could link. I mean, they'd have to do a lot of demolition here, but a lot of the backstage area, if they could move that out and then put a link between Toy Story Land and sort of where Rock and Roller Coaster Tower of Terror was, so that you could do a sort of loop, I think that would go a long way to alleviate some of the navigational problems there. Because obviously right now to get to Toy Story Land, you sort of have to go behind Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is a bit confusing, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And Toy Story Land also the hottest place on Earth. I don't know why, but it's
it's weird. You could be on one side, be outside the Tower of Terror, and you'd be absolutely fine. Suddenly, you're in Toy Story Land, and you are melting. It's incredible. Finally, then I guess the one I'm most interested in terms of changes and that sort of stuff, Epcot.
Right. Okay. Well, I really liked Journey of Water, starring Moana, or inspired by Moana. So this officially opened this week as of recording, but they soft opened it to annual pass holders maybe a month ago or more. And then while we were there, hit the jackpot because they announced that they would be soft opening it for everyone who was in the park. You would be able to join a virtual queue and potentially get in. And on the very first day that they were doing this, we had planned to be at Epcot. So we went there and we got in pretty early in the day. And it's really, really lovely. It's very wholesome. There was like loads of kids in there and they're having an absolutely fantastic time. It's kind of like the perfect encapsulation of an Epcot attraction, really, like that, this kind of quote unquote edutainment thing. So you sort of walk around and there are loads of like info points where you can read about like the role of water on planet Earth, where it comes from, what it does for us, what it does for the environment, for animals, etc. And throughout there are also loads of like interactive elements where you can like almost where you can control the water, Josh, like Maui himself.
So
that's all good fun. There are some really lovely sight lines as well. Like it's such a lush green environment. And there's tons of obviously of really nice water features too. But of course you can see Spaceship Earth peeking out off in the distance from a lot of points in the attraction too. And you can take some really nice photos. It's a very photogenic attraction. So I think that's going to be a very popular addition to Epcot. And I was very pleased to be able to do it while we were there because I wasn't expecting it. I was quite sad when before we went on the trip, they announced the opening date as like the day after we left. I was like, ah, damn it. But so yeah, to get in was an unexpected treat. It was good.
Lovely. And it's still, other than that, a bit of a construction site, I'm guessing?
It is, yeah. The front of the park very much is. I believe December is when all those walls, all that scaffolding should be coming down. And it will be a much more pleasurable experience walking around the front of Epcot. I guess I will also just say, I guess while I'm here, Cosmic Rewind is very, very fun indeed. So I'm looking forward to talking about that more whenever we get to our Epcot trip report.
Lovely. I think that's it.
Oh,
right?
Did I mention, Josh, this guy in the Norway pavilion?
What a life. What a life you lead, Tom.
I know, right?
Thanks for that. It's interesting to hear your one-stop thoughts on all the parks.
Yeah. Quick whistle-stop tour, I thought, because, you know, we've got a lot of trip reports to get through. Who knows? You know, I don't know what order we're going to end up doing them in, but you might be really keen to hear about Epcot, and our Epcot trip report might be like 6-7 weeks away. So hopefully between, you know, the Instagram stuff that's already up and this little whistle stop tour, it'll give you some sense of my kind of overall take on some of the parks. But the only other thing left for this week that we thought we should probably touch on is Hyperia, this new roller coaster announced for Thorpe Park in 2024. Josh, what's all about? Why should we be excited for this one?
Well, because it's the UK's tallest and fastest coaster, which is incredible for a park that already has Stealth. It is very, very quick. It's over 80 miles an hour, higher than Stealth. Stealth is at 205 feet. This is going to be at 236 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not just an up and down, because obviously they've got that, and that's Stealth. It does other things. It does, kind of twists and turns, and you go upside down and that sort of thing. It looks really cool.
Do we know what kind of roller coaster this is? In terms of who's building it, the kind of seating arrangement? Are we talking is it like a Shikra? Like a drop coaster? Or
It is not a drop coaster. This is, let me see if I can find it.
While you do that, actually, the only other thing I'll say is that also in the next few weeks, we're hoping to check out the Disney 100 exhibition at the XL Centre. So look forward to us reporting back from that as well. It's going to be a busy end to the year for Park Rush, which is great.
It's going to be a good end to the year. Let's see.
He still hasn't found it. What should we talk about now?
Can you believe it? No one just has it.
When I went to Epcot, I was in the Norway pavilion, and this bloke said to me that I looked incredible. He said, honestly, mate, I've never seen anyone quite like you. You really do look sensational.
Oh, here we go. I got it. Your friend of mine, Tom, Matt Rides.
Oh, I thought you were going to say John Wardley.
No. Well, he's a designer, obviously. But yes, a Mac Rides website. Let's see now. The modern roller coaster, lap belt only. I guess it's I think it's a bit like Velocicoaster.
Like Velocicoaster, yeah.
Yeah. So it comes down over your head, but it's just a lap bar, not over your shoulders. It's within the highest safety category, which is class 5. And looks like it's a 2, I don't know how many, it's 2 by X number of rows. So it's 2 people put next to each other. It's a hypercoaster. It's a Mac hypercoaster. 8 to 12 rows. Doesn't say, I don't have that information specifically here. But yeah.
There we go.
Mac Rides of Europa Park fame.
Reason to go back to Thorpe Park in 2024, I suppose. Not been since 2021, for me at least. I don't know about you.
No, I haven't been since I went with you, I don't think. And I think, it's keeps, the UK, while not necessarily the best themed coasters, certainly some of the best in the world.
Yes, world leading at vaccine rollout, at roller coasters, and
ruining the economy. Sausage rolls, banging.
Yeah, sausage rolls, pretty good. Lovely. All right, well... I think that will do it, Josh, for this slightly scattershot episode of the Park Rush podcast. But when has that ever stopped us before?
Never.
We'll have lots of trip reports coming up over the next few weeks and months, of course. So that's good. Stay safe and take it easy out there. And do subscribe if you haven't already, because, of course, we'll have some Halloween Horror Nights trip reports coming your way very soon indeed. Until then, goodbye.
See ya.